The following previews are of graphic audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Mildred Winonia Wyeth, Doctor of Medicine. Born December 17, 1964. Height, 5 feet 4 inches. Weight, 136 pounds. Eyes, brown. Cryogenically frozen, December 28, 2000. After complications arising from minor abdominal surgery.
Sounds like an impressive woman.
She's the Black Angel of Death!
After a century of being cryogenically frozen, Dr. Mildred Wyeth is awakened by Ryan Cotter and his companions.
What is this place?
They call it the Deathlands.
The what?
Having stumbled upon a radsick Viking tribe in what used to be Minnesota...
God, everything's upside down.
Mildred now finds herself in the fight of her life.
She must die, Ryan! She is death itself and brings a pox upon our people!
Mighty Odin, save us from the destruction brought upon us! May this glorious blade find its mark true!
Killer Odin, save us all!
I can't believe they woke me up for this.
Deathlands number 10, North Star Rising.
Deathlands number 10, North Star Rising, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006, or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Owen Deathstalker was compelled to make a questionable decision when he reawakened the cyborg army of Haydenmen from suspended animation to enlist their aid in the Great Rebellion.
You can't make deals with Haydenmen. They don't respect anything but their goddamn destiny.
Now he must face the consequences of that decision, for the Haydenmen have begun to act on their own agenda. The augmented race who have proclaimed Owen the Great Redeemer have ensnared a planet's population as raw material for procreation. Their ultimate purpose, to facilitate the next stage in mankind's evolution and recreate all humanity in their own likeness.
There is so much we wish to show you, Redeemer. Much that you have made possible.
And it's Owen and Hazel Dark's responsibility to snuff out the Haydenman's dream before it becomes humanity's worst nightmare.
How much of what I become is down to you?
You'll never know.
Deathstalker Honor, Episode 3. Welcome to New Hayden.
Deathstalker Honor, Episode 3, Welcome to New Hayden, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006, or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
A 100 years ago, a rain of nuclear bombs obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. It was the end of the world. Doomsday, sky dark. With the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. Cannibals hunted prey, cold hearts brutally raided farms, and slavers seized anybody they could as chattel. Electricity was seldom seen, starvation universal, rape a daily event, death the only known means of escape. This is America in the late 21st century. Welcome to the Deathlands. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Kate Torrey, David Coyne, Michael Replogle, and Casey Jones. Deathlands number 8, Ice and Fire. Ryan Cotter's fingers brushed against the polished metal floor of the Matrans chamber. He was still struggling back from the dark depths of unconsciousness. The tip of his right index finger touched something sticky and warm, a little below body temperature. The finger moved a crabbing inch farther, investigating the substance. Ryan's one good eye blinked open for a moment, looking down at his hand.
Oh, shit. Blood.
Blood it was. A dark pool of it, nearly 18 inches across, crusting at the edges. Ryan touched again, checking that he was conscious, feeling the too familiar stickiness. The chamber still smelled flat and bitter from the gases released during the jump, and the metal discs in floor and ceiling were creaking faintly as they cooled down. The armor glass walls were a pallid, translucent gray color. The gateway that they just left had been walled in a deep, brilliant turquoise. Ryan remembered that, remembered it because it had reminded him so much of the Indian jewelry of the far southwest. He closed his eye again and took slow, deep breaths, trying to speed his recovery. The jumps always scrambled everyone's brains, making them feel as if the contents of their skulls had been drained, freeze-dried, sandblasted, and then returned. While Ryan had been out, his head had slumped, and the patch over the blind socket of his left eye had become uncomfortable. He lifted a hand and adjusted it, opened his right eye, and tried once more to focus on the crimson puddle. Blood meant that someone was bleeding. Ryan could deduce that much, despite the mind tremor of a gateway jump. He blinked and followed the blood to its source.
Ugh, fire blast.
Doc Tanner had suffered one of his sporadic nosebleeds during the period of blackout. Blood ran from his hawkish nose, through his grizzled stubble, down the furrows of his chin. It dribbled across his neck and over his stained blue denim shirt, pattering in an uncertain trickle onto the floor. Trying to collect his thoughts, Ryan looked around the hexagonal room. Despite the bleeding nose, Doc seemed to be all right. Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner looked to be around 60 years old. By one measure of time, he was only about 30. By another kind of temporal yardstick, he was somewhere close to 228. During the 1990s, 8 or 9 years,